This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo, joined with me, as always, the Doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino, who's going to be enhancing his wardrobe.
That's right.
And I think everybody will be enhancing their wardrobe.
Definitely, definitely. The pleasure is all yours, as usual.
Are we in Georgie land? Is that what it is?
That's right, baby. Ooh, yeah, we need to make one of those shirts.
One of those shirts? I've been thinking about making, well, that's the next step. Of course, the big news today here on Place B Nation is our store is open. You will see the link at the bottom of every podcast now on Podbean. It's TeePublic, and it opened. So you can wear any of your favorite shows here at the Place to Be Wrestling Network on a shirt, on a T-shirt, a hoodie, a mask, all sorts of fun stuff. So if you don't see your show, if you don't see the show logo that you want, it will be there very soon. There's only a couple of shows that I have not been able to upload yet, but we will. But all of the big shows are on there. Place to Be Podcast, Main Event, the NWA Saturday Special, Highway to the Impact Zone, Jenny and the Gems, some other show. I don't know. What else? What's the other show? I think that's it. Anyway,
you're cruising for a bruising.
Oh, really? Well, you know what? I'm the boss, and I can make any fucking joke I want. How's that sound? Are you going to be the East-West Adonis and Jesse Ventura? Is that what you're saying? Anyway.
Well, don't worry about when the croc and roll comes in and starts spray painting
croc, you're a croc.
And taking over.
The Croc Bathroom.
The Croc Wrestling Network.
The Croc Wrestling. Like Croc Pot Wrestling? What are you guys going to eat? Like fucking pot roast? Anyway, no. Croc and Roll, of course, is there as well. So check it out. You'll see the link right on the Podbean page on this pod. And you'll see
it. What I love about it is that you could create. You have the logos, but you could create your own color.
Plenty of different colored shirts. The good thing was I was able to get the logos clear. Special thanks to Jeff Jarvis because he rules the roost in our graphics department. He did all the logos and he's awesome. So thank you, Jeff.
He really is awesome. Let me tell you, these logos are top notch.
Yes, they are. And the good thing about it is he was able to do them transparent. So the only one that's a block, which is still cool looking, but unfortunately, because the back color is kind of the point of the logo, is the senior video, our tremendous show hosted by Rory McNamara, because it's already purple because it's supposed to be like the Coliseum video logo. So if you take the purple out, you're kind of losing the whole point of it. Otherwise, all the other logos are transparent, so they'll go right onto whatever you want to wear. So anyway, check it out. It's on TeePublic, Place to Be Wrestling Network. You'll see the link right here on the Podbean page, right here on the podcast you're looking at. And it's on my Twitter, too, at PTB Podfather, also at Place to Be Nation. And by the way, please. It's a lot of fun. Show off the show you like.
I love it. I love it. TeePublic.com.
Just look backslash up, like Place to Be Wrestling Network. Yes.
That's right.
I am going to probably find some, because I know that your boy on Croc and Roll, Callum McDougal, wants me to get a million download man, kind of like the Millennium Man, like fucking Sid in fucking 99 and 2000 WCW, the million download man. That'd be pretty funny.
The one logo I really like is the one that, I guess it's the new one, the new Place to Be Wrestling.
Where that came from. That's a shocker. Yeah, you'll see, if you go on there, you'll see, it says Place to Be Wrestling, and it's a belt. And that's what we call our alternate logo. I don't know where – I didn't ask. I mean, like, we have our main logo. That's the one with the capital letters with the ring posts.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know. I'm kind of liking this one now.
But the alternate logo is kind of badass. I'm Jeff Jarvis. JJ, man, you pulled that out of your out of your
keys. It's kind of like the belt kind of looks like the WWE Championship belt, but I don't know. Yeah. It's got its own little twist to it. I like it.
I like it a lot, too. So anyway, you can get masks, you know, whatever you want to get.
I just want to make this one point because I'm just like a salesman like I always am with everything.
You.
But you got 2 days right now, 2 days and 15 hours, and you get 35% off right now.
Yes. So in other words, a $20 and $20 is still pretty good for a T-shirt full price. Right. But for the next 2 days, you can get a T-shirt for $13. You can get a hoodie, which is normally $45. You can get for $35,
right,
and various other things. Now, we're not. I mean, just to kind of pull the curtain back, we're not getting all of this money. This is a deal with TeePublic. We get a little taste. It's kind of like the Amazon link. Just a little bit comes back to us so we can, you know, keep the lights on and all that fun stuff.
It's good to make a few dollars, but the main thing is to get the awareness of the shows out. Exactly. So someone you're going somewhere and somebody goes, "What's that shirt? That's kind of neat." And then starts that conversation and, you know, maybe you get some more people listening.
Listen, WrestleMania, late March, Hollywood. Then says, "Fuck the vid. I'm not flushing WrestleMania down the toilet 2 years in a row." So get a Place to Be Wrestling Network mask of your favorite show or the feed logo, and we'll all be safe and sexy.
I got four masks coming, baby.
Safe and sexy. Do you really? Look at you. Mm-hmm. Look at you. You're not anti-mask. Anyway. Whatever. Anyway, so check it out. Great stuff over in the shop, the PTB Wrestling Network shop. Hey. All right, let's enough shilling. We're not what's his name? Who's the guy that Justin always liked on Raw? Is it Joe Fowler? No. Right? Was that the guy that used to shill the fucking jean jackets on Raw in like 95? Was it Joe Fowler? I think it was. Anyway.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, JR and I talked about it. I can't remember his name. I thought it was Joe Fowler. Anyway, let's talk about the business at hand, because we have a busy show this week here on the Saturday special. Good morning. Hope you're enjoying your coffee. If you're in the Northeast, it's pouring out. Maybe it's not. Who knows? Depends when you're listening. Later today here on the feed, if you're listening to on Saturday, a brand new episode of Talking WCW. Greg Phillips, Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel talking about the Giant. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, Dr. G, they do a pretty good job, the lady and the two gentlemen. What they do is they pick a WCW superstar, and they each pick one match that they like of that person and talk about him. So another great show that you can resource your GWCW ballot, which we'll talk about later because we have a superstar spotlight to talk about tonight. So check that out. That's later today on the feed. Talking WCW, Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel, Greg Phillips. And they're talking about the artist futurely known as The Big Show. He is the Giant, though, in WCW. All right.
He had an interesting career in WCW.
He did. He did have an interesting career. I have a feeling I know what Jenny's pick is because she's into that. Her favorite year in wrestling is one that may not be anybody else's, but that's her for you. Anyway, check it out. Good stuff. All right. Tonight on the Saturday special this week, we got some NWA news, and we will have another superstar spotlight. Now, keep those requests coming. We got two in the hopper. One is today. We're doing one next week. We want more. So at Place to Be Nation, that's the feed Twitter or the network Twitter. My Twitter, of course, at PTB Podfather. G's Twitter at Dr. G PTB. Tell us who you would like us to cover in an episode in a segment of Superstar Spotlight. It's got to be somebody NWA, and it's got to be a majority of their career was between 1981 and 1991. So no D. Malenko, no Eddie, no Benoit, no Lash LaRue, no Evan Courageous, nobody like that. Nobody from the Nitro era. We're talking Crockett, because that's what this show's about. And we talk old and new, National Wrestling Alliance. So we did, of course, last week we did AA, the Enforcer Arn Anderson. We have one this week, and we have already one booked for next week. So keep those requests coming, because we want to do as many as we can to help you with your ballot before the end of the year. So we'll get to the Superstar Spotlight later in the show.
I'm not sure if you were going to get to it, but I figured before we get really rolling, because we got a lot, like you said, to talk about, you'd be remiss to not mention the passing of Bob Armstrong.
Yes, Bullet Bob passed. It's been a crappy last 2 days for pop culture. Of course, on Thursday, we lost both Bullet Bob Armstrong and former Arizona head coach Lute Olson. And then yesterday, or Friday, we lost Chadwick Boseman, the guy who played the actor who played Black Panther And you saw him as Jackie Robinson in 42.
True, yep.
43 years old, he had colon cancer. That blows. This year sucks a donkey dick. Seriously.
Yeah,
it sucks. Daniel LaRusso spray paint dick is what it fucking is what it fucking sucks right now. If you haven't watched Cobra Kai on Netflix, because it just migrated from YouTube, please do so, because it's pretty funny. Now you can watch it if you have.
It's a good show.
But in regards
to Bullet Bob, you don't realize until you really start looking over it, and now you go back and watch stuff. What a career this guy
had. Absolutely.
And his career spanned about 5 decades. So, I mean, he really, really saw all the different aspects of the wrestling business and how it changed. And he made a nice career for himself. And, I always remember watching him, on the 605 show, and them always mentioning, because he would always do the fireman's carry because he was a fireman before he got into wrestling, right after he got out of the military. So I guess he really had a big career down in, panhandle of Florida. Continental? I guess it was Continental Championship Wrestling, or was it called Southeastern Wrestling at one time?
I think we talked about this last week. It was Southeastern Championship Wrestling, and then it became Continental. His actual real name was Joseph Melton James. He was born. He's from Marietta, Georgia, but he passed away on Thursday at the age of 80.
I actually happen to see it. Actually, Road Dogg. I follow him on Twitter, and Road Dogg had announced it. His son on Twitter, and I used his tweet and I retweeted it, and I just like you said, this year is just tough on everybody, and then just to have that, and, one thing, and you were just saying you just were watching him on some TNA shows. He had a nice little run in TNA.
He was the president, the on-air president of NWA TNA.
I thought he did some of his best mic work then, because, he wasn't really a big, stick guy when he was wrestling. But
right.
I thought he did a pretty decent job in Impact. What do you think?
He was okay. I mean, we're going through those now on the main event, and of course you can hear him over on the No So on it. TNA Never Dies too. He's okay. I mean, I think it was kind of a mess. So he did the best he could. But I thought he was fine. I mean, he was the baby face to Vince Russo's heel in the SEX, Sports Entertainment Extreme. Most of his career was spent in Continental and Southeastern Wrestling. Yeah. Did you hear this story? While bench pressing a dumbbell weighing 180 pounds in a gym in Georgia, the bench that Armstrong was lying upon broke, leading to the weight falling on his face. His face was severely damaged and his nose was torn off, requiring $38,000 of plastic surgery to repair it. Can you imagine? So he wore a wrestling mask, and that's where the nickname The Bullet came from.
Right.
So he was in the stud stable. He feuded with the stud stable in Continental, and he retired in 1988.
I remember this now. He just had such a long career.
He was the commissioner of Smoky Mountain in the early 90s. Of course, he was, he helped lead TNA. Rest in peace, Bullet Bob. Of course, he had all of his sons. You had Scott Armstrong. You had Brad. Of course, you have Brian, BG. All wrestlers or referees. So Brad actually was, for a very brief time, he was the Mid-South North American champion for like 3 months. So not bad for all those guys.
And Brad probably, is one of the best wrestlers back in the 1980s. And the sad thing was, the reason why he just never hit that next level is because that red light went on and he couldn't connect. But everyone says it. You listen to any podcast with any of the older wrestlers during that time, they said he is one of the funniest guys backstage.
I know.
He had everybody cracking up. He was just, but, and listen, it's not easy performing in front of, you know, camera, you know, like if you get that in your head. So, but in terms of getting in the ring with him, there was, everyone always said it was a night off. And right. I would say he was just like his father. Same thing with Bob Armstrong.
Yep.
I think, you know, just it was a night off, this a true consummate professional. And Bullet Bob, rest in peace, and you will be missed.
Yep, absolutely. Of course, Scott is currently a well, I don't know where he is now. He was a ref in WWE and NXT. I don't know where he is now. Brad, of course, was a wrestler. Steve Armstrong was another wrestler. You know, he kind of faded a little bit. And then, of course, Brian, a.k.a. the Road Dogg, is currently, I think he's like co-running SmackDown, I think, right now, or something like that. Anyway, rest in peace, Bullet Bob. You will be missed. Died at the age of 80 back on Thursday. Yeah,
condolences to the James/Armstrong family.
Yes. Pensacola, Florida, right near the Panhandle. So, okay. Let's get into the news and notes. The big news, of course, involves, we did get some news involving this working relationship between the National Wrestling Alliance and the United Wrestling Alliance, two alliances. First off, on the very first episode of Primetime Live, which will be on in a couple weeks, actually, on Tuesday night, September 15th, the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, will defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. So, yes, we are about to see Sweet Charlotte on the table, Dr. Yes. G, against Mike Bennett, of course, former Mike Kanellis. So that'll be on Tuesday night, September 15th, the first episode of Primetime Live.
Yeah, put a little video out, you know, little intensity, kind of get it going, you know, put the challenge out to Aldis, and Aldis met the challenge, which we know he would.
Yeah.
You know, he's a consummate professional.
But does this mean that the Aldis-Marty Scurll feud's kind of like gone? That kind of sucks, if that's true.
I don't know. Yeah, you know, I just... this whole thing threw everything in life into turmoil. So I don't know, but
kind of blows.
I have to say, it was an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
I like the intensity.
Yep.
Of Mike Bennett. So it's going to be something to look forward to. And I'm looking forward to a little NWA, a little Sweet Charlotte.
Charlotte will be on the table. Absolutely. Now, Mike Bennett, former Ring of Honor superstar, and as I mentioned, he was in WWE as Mike Kanellis with his wife Maria. We all know Maria. And he is now kind of floating around the indies. I think he went to Impact for a brief time. And so he will be taking on the National Treasure, our World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis, on Tuesday night, September 15th on Primetime Live. Now, that's a piece of news. This is even bigger news, Dr. Gene. You're going to like this. From lordsofpain.net or wrestlingheadlines.com, Nick Aldis was a guest on the Battlegrounds podcast, where the NWA world champion gave more details on the promotion's new deal with UWN and Fight TV. Are you ready? Here's what
I'm
he said.
I'm ready.
We've had a great relationship with Fight TV. Our pay-per-views outperform certain big brands on their platform like 3-1. They are constantly checking in with us because they make money from us. An option came up for Thunder Studios in LA. It will be a combination of Fight TV and traditional pay-per-view. It was a situation where they said to David Marquez, quote, there is a time slot here if you want to do something with it. David put this situation together where he opened up the possibility where any promotion who wanted to take part in it to have a pay-per-view as regularly or infrequently as they would like. We partnered with him because it's a great opportunity for us to go into a new setting. We didn't want to go to GPB without fans. They will be, now here's the big sentence, you ready? They will be regular weekly shows on pay-per-view, but that's not to say the NWA will be doing those weekly pay-per-views. There is a time slot, and the NWA will be occupying some of those shows. End quote.
Okay.
So... I'll be honest. Obviously, I know what's sticking out for you in that, and that is, of course, maybe we won't be paying for NWA shows. But I feel that's a little vague. So
it is a little
we're going to get a show on Tuesdays, but it's some weeks it's UWA, and other weeks it's NWA. That's kind of how I gathered. I don't know. What did you gather from that? I'm a little perplexed. I'm not going to lie.
What I got from that is that NWA is still going to do their own thing, possibly on YouTube, but they're going to work along with this UWM. But I think that maybe they won't have wrestlers on every week in this promotion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm kind of getting from it.
It is a little
vague, but the thing is that the announcement said that they were working together on this for a weekly pay-per-view with the NWA. So I'm a little confused.
I'm not quite sure what you're doing here.
Say read that again, that statement from him again.
Okay. All right. Quote, "We've had a great relationship with Fight TV. Our pay-per-views outperform certain big brands on their platform like 3-1. Right. They're constantly checking in with us because they make money from us. An option came up for Thunder Studios in LA. Remember, Thunder Productions is Billy's company. It will be a combination of Fight TV and a traditional pay-per-view. It was a situation where they said to Dave Marquez, quote, there is a time slot here if you want to do something with it. David put the situation together where he opened up the possibility where any promotion who wanted, so this is where I get a little perplexed, where any promotion who wanted to take part in it to have a pay-per-view as regularly or infrequently as they would like. We partnered with him because it's a great opportunity for us to go into a new setting because we didn't want to go to GPB, which is the studios in Atlanta where Power was taking place, without fans. They will be regular weekly shows on pay-per-view, but that's not to say the NWA will be doing weekly pay-per-views. There is a time slot, and the NWA will be occupying some of those shows."
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from it.
If you want to listen to the podcast, the Battleground podcast, go to wrestlingheadlines.com, find the article that says Nick Aldis clarifies deal between NWA and UWN, says they will not be doing weekly pay-per-views, and then at the bottom is the podcast. So it looks like it's two parts.
It sounds like they're not going to be – they're going to partner with this UW. This UWN is kind of like – it's almost kind of like what Jarrett was doing with the Global, where they're kind of being like a promoter.
Right.
And so like if some of the other small companies want to run a pay-per-view one week, they have the time slot that – Dave Marquez and the UWN own, and they'll promote it. They'll get a little piece, and so will the wrestling company that's going to provide the talent.
Yeah.
Again, this is all guessing on my part. I'm just trying to understand it. I think we'll learn a little bit more as this goes along. But we haven't heard. We heard that the range, maybe $13 to $15. I think we spoke about that last week. $13 to $15 a week, and we're just wondering if there'll be like a monthly subscription rate,
right?
With Fight TV, which would probably be the more cost effective. But I'm interested to see. I definitely think I would get the first one just to see what it's like and see, maybe kind of get an idea. But hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarification. With him putting that out there now, I'm assuming that someone's going to have to get some more information to kind of clear up, any of the misconceptions or, like what I'm doing. I'm just kind of guessing. You're kind of guessing what we think it's going to be just to kind of clear it up.
Another tidbit that came from this interview, apparently, and I would have got to see this live, which would have been fucking amazing. Aldis was approached to defend the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship at the G1 Supercard, which was the show that I went to last year before WrestleMania at MetLife. This was the big ROH New Japan combo show that took place at Madison Square Garden.
Right.
And holy shit, when I just read this, I lost it. They had two ideas for him. He ended up not doing the show. Aldis was not at the show, just to let you know. But Wrestle One and New Japan, they were all trying to talk it out. There were two opponents for Aldis on that night at the Garden. You ready for this? They wanted to do, the first option was Aldis and Muda. Holy shit. Oh my God. Would I have crap myself if that was the case?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Bad enough that it was amazing enough that I actually got to see Muda live for the first and probably only time in my life that night at the Garden. And somehow that didn't work out. That would have been amazing. The other option, and this would have been amazing for historical purposes, because this guy, who is officially now retired, never got a World Heavyweight Championship match in any capacity throughout his illustrious career in professional wrestling. But it almost happened that night at the G1. Nick Aldis would have defended Sweet Charlotte, the World's Heavyweight Championship, against Jushin Thunder Liger.
Ooh.
Pardon me while I get a diaper after I crap my pants. Holy.
Hey, you can get one on TeePublic.
I know, yeah. I could get a.
Branded diapers.
Branded diapers, there you go. And you know what we could put on it? We could put your host of Croc and Roll, Sean Kidd's Takes. So we could put on it.
Oh.
I love you, kid. But he says it himself, so he'll actually like that joke. But anyway, but of course that didn't happen. Liger and Muda went face to face in the Battle Royal at the beginning of the show, which ended up going to which Kenny King ended up winning. But Aldis was not at the G1 Supercard, which is a shame because both of those matches would have been. Muda and Aldis would have been great because Muda's fucking Muda. But Aldis and Liger would have been fascinating because Liger's, he's like Ray size, you know, but. That would have been absolutely fascinating because you got Aldis, who's, what is he? Probably 6'2", 6'3". Maybe he's like 250, 255. Maybe he's 260. And you got Liger, who's like 5'10", probably, and he's probably like 195. But that would have been a fun little match.
It would have.
It's Liger. He's a Hall of Fame, and he'll be going to the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Anyway, that's part of this whole podcast that Aldis did with the Battleground podcast, guys. So that was part of that pod as well. That was part of the pod that talked about Fight TV as well. So, that's the update on that. So, as the days move on and we get closer, closer to Tuesday, September 15th, we'll obviously know more and more details on things as we get closer. Okay, time now. For this week's Superstar Spotlight. Now, the reason, for those that are new to the show, and thank you for joining us, we got a great back catalog at placetobe.podbean.com of all the NWA Saturday specials. We're doing something called Superstar Spotlight, where we're taking a person or a tag team and chatting about them for a few minutes, talk about some of their highlights, the best parts of their career were, and maybe come up with, two or three or four matches that maybe you would want to watch. And think about for your GWCW match ballot that you will turn into us at placetobenation.com on New Year's Eve. And then we will do a composite ballot next year. And, of course, next year in 2021, a ton of shows here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network will do their own shows. Main Event, we'll be doing some stuff on our ballots. Of course, you and I, Doctor, on the Saturday special. I'm sure you guys over on Croc and Roll will talk about ballots. So... 2021, because we want to talk about that year because this one sucks dick. 2021, we'll be doing a ton of stuff involving GWCW and the revealing of everybody's ballot, including the site composite ballot. And then at that point, we'll come up with whatever next year's ballot research will be. Maybe GWCW guy? I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Anyway, so last week... We did the Enforcer, AA Arn Anderson, and there's a pretty decent amount of Arn matches you can pick from. This week was a request by a listener And at first I chuckled, and Dr. G looked at me and said, you're not going to bury this, right? I'm like, no, of course not. We'd never do that.
No.
For a long time, this guy drove me nuts. I thought his promos were garbage, and I was not a fan of his in-ring work. But over the last, like, 3 years, as I've watched more and more stuff about him, I have gained a new respect for this guy. The superstar in the spotlight this week, the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin. And this is a guy who I never liked for a long time. I think his promos were totally mush-mouthed. But I have gained a big respect for him, Dr. G, around the four walls of ropes. The guy could wrestle in his prime. Of course, his real name is Roger Barnes. And if you listen to him, he's not from fucking North Carolina. He's from Montreal. He's Canadian. Listen to his ring entrance for his ring introductions for Greg Valentine at SummerSlam 89, and you'll know what I mean. But you want to talk about a guy who's Southern through and through in terms of his wrestling career. I mean, he's south of the Mason-Dixon all day long. Most of his career was spent in either Georgia, Crockett, Alabama, Kentucky. He was probably in Continental. He was in Southeastern Championship Wrestling. It was technically called the Knoxville-led promotion. He wrestled for ICW, which was the other promotion in Memphis. Remember, that was run by Angelo Poffo, which is, of course, the father of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
He did a little work in Puerto Rico.
Yep, did some work in Puerto Rico as well. Yep. He worked with Carlos Colon. One of his best-known moments in ICW, he knocked Ox Baker's dentures out of his mouth, after which Garvin stomped on them. That's actually kind of awesome. I've met Ox Baker. God rest his soul. Ox Baker was pretty cool.
And he won a lot of singles championships, but a lot of them were just single reigns. You know, like he didn't have a lot of multiple reigns as champion. You know, I think he was the type of guy that, you know, it was better going for the, you know, chasing the belt. You know, he would eventually get it, but not like being a long-term champion or multiple time champion. I think Ronnie Garvin was a great, solid upper mid card guy. You know, tough as nails. No, wasn't great, you know, on the stick. We all could say that. At times, you know, as I'm watching some of the stuff back, at times he showed a glimpse of, you know, doing a good interview. But his in-ring psychology, his selling is phenomenal.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, when he gets injured, you really think he's injured. You know, when it shows that he's has to get injured in a match, he just sells it like, oh my gosh, you know, you really like really feel bad for this guy. He really did get hurt. And, you know, watching some of the stuff back from 1985, he's just one of those guys, you know, like when you watch as a kid, he was on every week. You know, we were kind of saying that to a certain extent, like Jimmy Valiant. I realized, oh my gosh, he really truly was on every single week.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not comparing the two. I think, you know, Ronnie Garvin is a much, much better talent. But I was happy, you know, I mean, obviously the one match that, you know, has a possibility, I guess, of being on the GWCW is when he won the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep. September 25th, 1987.
Yep.
Yep. He beat Flair. You were talking about titles. It was a very good match, actually. And the rematch. If you are so inclined, of course, they rematched at Starrcade 87, which went on the same night. I didn't realize this. Dueling pay-per-views, Starrcade 87 and the 87 Survivor Series were the same night. That was when Crockett and WWF were jabbing each other. And, of course, Flair won it back. The other feud that I think we need to talk about, and I don't know where a ton of these matches are. I know a couple of them are on Jake Roberts' DVD because there's really not a Georgia comp, although we have to talk to Chad Campbell. Ronnie Garvin and Jake Roberts had a great feud in Georgia over the Georgia television title. Because Ronnie Garvin won that belt 5 times. And they had a great feud.
That's the one belt he did win multiple times. But if you really look at his overall record, you know, like I said, he won a belt either 1 time or 2 times. But that Georgia television belt, you know, you got me there. Yes, he did win that multiple times.
Yeah. But I mean, the point is he it was also known as the national TV title too. At one point during the storyline, Jake held the title and refused to give Garvin a rematch. He had to mortgage his house to come up with 10 grand to pay Roberts for a rematch. Garvin would win the rematch and win the national TV title. He would enter Crockett in 84, although I didn't see him much when I was watching the 84 shows. I haven't seen him much in 85 either.
I do remember that mortgage stuff a little bit because I was watching it during that time, and I do remember that, and I was like, you know, obviously as a kid, you're like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really get that stuff. Of course, Gorgeous Jimmy Garvin was his, quote, brother. In reality, Jimmy Garvin is his stepson. So they are related, kind of. Of course, nobody was hotter in drag, even my wonderful Halloween costume of many years ago. He was Miss Atlanta Lively. And, of course, he and Jimmy Valiant took on the Midnight Express in an Atlanta street fight at Starrcade 85.
I remember that match.
And then, of course, he feuded with Flair, won the title, and then he turned heel in 88, if you remember that. He took Kevin Sullivan's money by knocking Dusty Rhodes out with a punch to keep him from winning Barry Windham's U.S. title. And Garvin was managed by Gary Hart, but then left on August 12th of 88.
Yeah, he wasn't there very long after he turned heel. I remember.
Yeah. Hung around in the AWA for a little bit. Went to, as we said, went to Puerto Rico, and then he spent a couple of years.
I don't remember WWF. Him in the AWA, though, but it was a very short stint. I don't know. You know, when he came to the WWF, that was kind of strange. You know, he was rugged Ronnie Garvin. They always have to come up with something different.
I know. Kind of like Dirty Dick Slater. But if Dick Slater was babyface in the WWF, he was the Rebel Dick Slater. Et cetera, et cetera. So
what do you think of his stint in the WWF? I know that's not what we're really here to talk about.
Dr. G, his WWF run is kind of what got me to really like him. As you know, of course, over on the Place to Be podcast, Mr. Azzaro and I are going through that timeline. And the 2 years he was in the WWF, he actually, you know, his promo work again was still a little shaky. But particularly house shows. I mean, I can't stress again, I say a lot on this show, I say it on Main Event a lot too. The fact that JR and I are watching all of the house shows starting in January of 85 at the Garden have opened my eyes to styles of wrestling from guys that I really either never remembered or didn't know at all. Because watching a guy wrestle a 5-minute match on Saturday Night's Main Event is not the same thing as a guy wrestling a 15-minute match at Madison Square Garden. And there were some decent double-digit Ronnie Garvin matches where he really laid into guys. And he would have some good matches, various guys. Obviously, the big feud he had when he was in the WWF was with Greg Valentine, and you know that guy, he's pretty snug too. Everyone talks about the I Quit match at the Royal Rumble in 1990, which was a really good match. But I believe it was earlier, a couple months earlier, might have been either, I can't look it up now. It was either November or December of 89. They had like a 20-minute draw, and they were laying into each other. I mean, obviously you know both guys very well, Dr. G. They are they've always been a little snug, you know.
They are, and you know, again, two old, you know, Mid-Atlantic guys, you know, NWA guys going at it in the WWF, and, you know, you could tell that they had a chemistry, they worked together.
Yep.
And the one thing about Garvin, I mean, he just, his ring psychology and every move meant something. You know, he did things for a reason, and there was a purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you weren't getting wasted moves. You weren't getting, you know, and like you said, he was snug. So it looked I hate to use the word looked real, but that's for a lack of a better term. You know, it just, it looked like, you know, he was really beating the shit out of somebody. And he was just, I mean, I guess that's probably why they gave him the name Rugged in WWF, because he really, he was a rugged kind of guy, you know. He was the hands of stone. He was going to chop your ass down. So I'm getting, you know, going back and watching a lot of this stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. we do, and you do a lot of it more than I do even, you really become, you get appreciation for certain guys that you didn't have an appreciation for originally.
Exactly. Sure.
You know, like we were talking about Paul Jones, you know, you didn't realize, yeah, okay, yeah, he was a kind of a mid-card stable kind of manager, but yeah, you know, you wanted to punch him in the face. He was actually pretty good at what he did.
Yeah, he was.
No, is he at the level of Bobby Heenan or Jim Cornette? No, he's not. But again, when you have a big roster like you did, and you are doing these shows, you know, the 2 hours on Saturday night, and I think, did they do 2 hours on Sunday? I'm trying to remember. I know there was Sunday night.
No, I think Worldwide or Pro was only an hour, I think.
No, but no, on Sunday nights they did Georgia Championship Wrestling too.
2 hours?
It was Saturday and Sunday nights. I remember. I don't know if Sunday is 2 hours. I don't remember. I'd have to look that up. But
that's a little. I don't remember a Sunday night show where I lived. But I mean, obviously where you lived, you had extra stuff.
Yeah, when they had covered all these syndicated shows, you had to have a pretty good roster, and when you did, you know, not the mid-card guys needed managers, and they needed guys to, you know, the managers that could speak for them, especially the heels. Because that was a big thing back then, is usually when you were heel, you had a manager. I mean, yep. Think about it. You know, Flair had the manager, you know, J.J. Dillon was his manager when he was with the Horsemen, but Flair didn't need anybody to talk for him.
No.
You know. But no, I Ronnie Garvin, he's one of those guys. I mean, I think I'm so happy that he got to win the heavyweight championship, but honestly, I think if you put the right manager with him at the time, he actually would have been a great heel back in the '80s. Because he was just a nasty bastard in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you, like, I know they had him with Gary Hart towards the end there, and it just, whatever disagreements, it didn't work out. Gary Hart, a good manager. That would have been a good manager.
Oh yeah, I love Gary Hart. I agree.
You know, you could even see a Paul Elring with Ronnie Garvin.
Sure.
You know, even in the, you know, I could have seen him in the Dangerous Alliance. You know, he
oh, that'd be interesting.
I think he would have been even though he did have some heel runs, I think actually he would have been a better heel overall if he was booked as one.
Hmm. Good point. I agree.
But I have nothing but great things to say about Ronnie Garvin. I think I probably wouldn't have said this, you know, 20, 30 years ago, but I definitely have got gained a more of appreciation for him. And I'm glad he got his run as the world champion for a little bit, you know, transitional champion or whatever you want to call it. I guess it wasn't a transitional. I don't even remember the circumstances behind why he got the belt, but whatever it was, he was able to be world champion, and not many people could say that.
Right. No, I agree. You know, even if somebody said, why would you take that? You know, nobody wanted to be the 2 month transitional champion from September.
Everybody
November,
remembers Tommy Wrench, Tommy Rich being the NWA championship. What was he, like 9 days?
Yes. Yep.
Couple. But everybody remembers that he was the NWA world champion.
Yep. You could put that on a resume. He could sign that on pictures, you know. So here are some matches that you know that we've culled and have gotten from experts about Ronnie Garvin that you might be interested in. And there's some, they're either on the network or they're on YouTube.
Which experts?
We must keep them anonymous. We have contracts. If you look up World Championship Wrestling, and a lot of these are against Ric Flair, which is good. December 28th, 1985, an episode of World Championship Wrestling, he fought Ric Flair. Atlanta, January 19th, 1986, against Ronnie Garvin, against Ric Flair. This one is definitely on the network. If you go into the Hidden Gems and type Superstars on the Superstation, a great, and this might be a match that, and I think I said it, I believe we watched this on Jenny and the Gems. I believe this is a show that a match I think I would put on my ballot, and that is Ric Flair and Ronnie Garvin for the world title. The date was February 7th, 1986. I think it's a match, Dr. G, you and I have to watch because I think you'll really like it. It was excellent, very hard hitting. Flair and Garvin again, a cage match in Greensboro, March 29th, 1986. See if you can find that match. I don't think that's on the network. Here we go. This might be interesting. On an episode of Worldwide, Ronnie Garvin fought Tully Blanchard, May 3rd, 1986. Interesting. Another Ronnie Garvin Tully Blanchard match from July 5th, 1986, which isn't that the same night as – I think it's the night before the Bash, I think. This is the night of the Bash, Tully and Ron Garvin, July 26, 1986. As a matter of fact, both outdoor Great American Bashes are on the network, if you want to find them. Starrcade 86, Ron Garvin fought Big Bubba, match you might want to look into. Let's see. From an episode of Pro from February 21st, 1987, the Midnight Express against Ronnie Garvin and Barry Windham. Something to take a look at. Ric Flair and Ron Garvin from World Championship Wrestling, September 25th, 1987. And yes, that's the match where Ronnie won the world title. And of course, Garvin and Flair, the rematch where Flair won the title back in the cage at Starrcade 19.
I remember that, you know, when he won the belt, you know, because in those days you didn't hear about things like we do now.
Right.
So,
right.
And then, you know, turning on one of the syndicated shows and them showing the replays of it. And, you know, people, I guess, you know, seeing a championship change live when you weren't maybe 100% expecting it.
Right.
I mean, I just remember the crowd going crazy when he won it because obviously they weren't expecting it.
No, not at all. Not at all. And he was 42 at that point. So, hey, you know what? Do you blame him? Probably the last shot he was ever going to get at being a world champion. Fuck it. Go for it. Who cares if it's only 2 months? Whatever. Do it. It's stupid not to. I'm sure they asked a ton of guys, no, I don't want to be a transitional champion. Ronnie Garvin's like, you fucking kidding me? You get to be world champion for 2 months. What are you whining about? Stupid. I would have done it.
Exactly.
So he did. So there you go. So we hope we kind of gave you a little insight into the career of the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin, and we gave you, 11 matches that might be something worthwhile. A few of those you might have to dig up. I know that the Superstars in the Superstation and the Starrcade 87 match are on the network, as well as the two matches at the two Great American Bashes in 86. Those are in the Hidden Gems as well. So there we go. There is our Superstar Spotlight. Thank you for the our fan that picked him. Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin. And that'll just about wrap it up for this week's episode of the Saturday Special. We will be on next week, even though next week is Labor Day weekend. We will have a show next week because we got to find out more of what's going on. We're only, 2 weeks away from this primetime live on Fight TV, this combo show with the United Wrestling Network or United Wrestling Alliance and the NWA. And we apparently have a world title match. Nick Aldis will defend against Mike Bennett. And we will kind of reveal, because if we reveal it, then we won't have any repeats for those that are going to, you know, make suggestions for Superstar Spotlights. This one next week, Dr. G, interesting one for you, because this is a guy I've heard you talk about on both of the first two episodes of NWA Croc and Roll. And I'll do some little jiggling in your head, because next week on Superstar Spotlight, we're going to talk about a guy who the fans loved, particularly the ladies, but his career ended, not his life, but his career ended way too soon. We are, of course, talking about Magnum T.A. That is our Superstar Spotlight next week on the NWA Saturday Special. Dr. G, always a pleasure. You can find him on Twitter at Dr. G PTB. He is, of course, here on our show.
Give me a follow. I'm excited. I have my new Twitter. For the show and for the shows.
Yep.
And you know, you'll see I tweeted out about our tees on
mm-hmm.
T TeePublic, because I'm really excited about that. And I made my order today, so join us. Join the Place to Be Wrestling Network Nation.
Yes, the community, the family.
Join us, and you'll love what you see on there.
Yeah, you will. You absolutely will. You can always check him out on, of course, this show. He is, of course, the tri-host on NWA Croc and Roll with Sean Kidd and Callum McDougal. Next month in September, they will be doing their June 85 show. So I'm looking forward to that. He's also on across the quad, on the PlayStation Nation pop feed on the Year in Pop with me and Andy Atherton and Mr. J. Arsenio D. Amato. We just did 1984 a couple weeks of last week. So check that out over on the pop feed. Good show. A really good show. And, you can obviously follow me on Twitter at PTB Podfather, and of course follow the network at Place to Be Nation on Twitter as well. We had a good week this past week. We had a SummerSlam recap show. We had what else do we have? We had an episode of Jenny and the Gems drop. We had an episode of the Adams Division podcast. Steve Bennett.
I don't know if we announced it on this show, but we're on Spotify now.
We are on Spotify. I did announce it. Did I announce it? I announced it on Main Event. Oh, we are now on Spotify. So if you follow Spotify, if you have a Spotify player, if you're not an Apple podcast fan and you have Spotify, click on podcast, type Place to Be Wrestling Network, and we are there now. So please follow and follow, subscribe. I don't know my glasses.
Rate, review, and subscribe.
There we go. Maybe we'll do a.
That helps us out. Gives us an idea of what we're doing. Good for you out there, and obviously tell your friends about us. You know, if you have some questions, ideas, like you said, hit us up on Twitter.
Yep.
Because we're excited. We're excited about what's coming up for the Place to Be Wrestling Network as it grows, and you know. One thing, it's just like everybody else during this crazy time in our lives, everybody's had to get think outside the box and get creative. And we have some shows right now, you know, a lot of people aren't totally thrilled with the, you know, no fans. And now some fans, you know, some AEW has some fans coming back and stuff like that. But still
virtual fans on the Thunderdome.
Yeah, in the Thunderdome. It's still not the same as what we're used to. So I think nostalgia is king right now.
Sure.
And we're getting a lot of that on the Place to Be Wrestling Network. And even we've had to pivot. You know, this show was originally to review the weekly NWA Power shows. And now we're kind of pivoting and doing some, you know, classic stuff and nostalgia. And it's been fun. I'm looking forward to having the real thing back. But for now, this is a lot of fun. And, you know, we this is your guys' show. You know, what do you want to listen to? You know, if you have an idea of a guy you'd love for us to talk about, hit us up, because we love talking about this stuff. And it gives us a chance to go back and review and, you know, like we said, talking about Ronnie Garvin. I mean, I thank Sean for inviting me part of Croc and Roll and watching some of this stuff back again. Because, you know, you watch it a little more thoroughly. You know, a lot of times on the network, I'll put something on in the background when you're doing something. But, you know, but now I'm really watching this, and you're just starting to see some guys that you gain more respect for after a while that you didn't have respect. You know, I don't want to say you didn't have respect for, but when you're younger, you watch it through different eyes than you do when you're older.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to thinking about all the psychology and all the different things that we think about now. And, you know, like I said, Ronnie Garvin really has impressed me from what I'm seeing so far in 85. Not that he's been on a lot, but he's been on. And a guy I kind of criticized, kind of like you, not as harsh as you were about him. But now I realized I could think back about him fondly, because I think he was a good upper mid-card guy that, you know, you could put him in the ring with anybody and he was going to, you know, give you a solid match.
Yep, absolutely. So check that stuff. Check it out. All the great stuff on the feed. So join us next week for the NWA Saturday special, where we'll do more news and notes from around the current NWA and find out more about this merger and the big show on the 15th. And next week's NWA Superstar Spotlight, Magnum TA. That's going to be an interesting one. Get your request out for Superstar Spotlight topics. Again, you can send it to me at PTB Podfather, send it to G at Dr. G PTB, or send it to the network feed at Place to Be Nation and keep them coming. So we have done Arn Anderson and Ronnie Garvin. Next week we will be doing Magnum TA, and give us some other great ones. Tag teams too. Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, whatever you want, whoever you want. We could redo Arn if you want to do Arn and Ole. I don't care, whatever. I could talk about Arn for hours, really. We brought up various names tonight involving Ronnie Garvin that you might want to talk about. So anyway, be great week coming up. We had Main Event this past week as well. That dropped yesterday, if you're listening on Saturday. Good week this week. I believe we will have a new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan Crosland and the guys. And yeah, we're going to have a lot of fun. Always here, all the time. And go to the shop. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week. I'm Scott. He is the doctor. Not the hands of stone. You can't be if you're a doctor. But you're not.
Ciao, baby.